This is Spencer King, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiologists' extended learning series featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You're about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, you will have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access to your mobile device. And each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/AXL. Listen now to a talk Noel Barney-Mertz had with Alexandra Lansky, professor of cardiovascular medicine at the Yale School of Medicine and practicing cardiologist at Yale New Haven Hospital. They discuss atherosclerotic MI in young women. Why the poor outcomes?
Welcome to AXL.
Well, thank you very much, Noel. It's a pleasure to be here.
So why are we talking about young women and heart attacks?
I think that's a good question, right? So I think it's good to put it in context. So if you look at the overall death rates in the last, four decades that have been published, we've seen a pretty impressive decline overall in the overall mortality rates. If you look at the subgroups that actually contribute to the decrease in mortality, it's pretty much everybody.
Everyone's declining.
Everybody's declining, with the exception of young women. So the young women have been completely stagnant. In fact, there is a suggestion that there's an increase, a slight increase.
Particularly among non-Caucasian ethnic minorities.
That's right. So African Americans, et cetera, seem to be a little bit on the incline in terms of the mortality rate. So that seems to be a subset of patients where there still is some issues, and we need to focus on that.
Absolutely. Subgroup analyses are critically important, and it's really only the last 2 to 3 decades where we've sex stratified data.
That's exactly right.
And now we're going to age and ethnicity, so we're getting more and more precise about where the problems are. Well, what are some of the reasons for this stagnation in young women? And again, we're talking about atherosclerotic MI. We're not talking about SCADs. We're not talking about uncommon things.
So before we go there, I think it's important to state what is the difference. What is the excess in mortality? And there's a number of different series that have looked at this. And if you look at patients below 55, 50, et cetera, you go down to the extreme, you're looking at mortality rates that are 2 to 2.5-fold higher in women compared to men. So this is the issue.
So relative, but what's the absolute death rate then in these young women?
The absolute death rates, it depends, of course, on the patient population, the risk factors, et cetera. But I think it's important to realize that you do have that, whatever it might be, it's 2 times to 2.5 times higher.
Yeah. Let's just look at STEMI. STEMI death rates are still less than 10% in general. So what you're saying is that female STEMIs,
they're in the 15% range.
That's pretty substantial.
So that's significant. And it's a paradox because we're looking at low prevalence of disease, so it's actually rare. But when they get it, the outcomes are much worse. So I think the onus is really on us to identify this and really try and understand it, treat it appropriately, et cetera.
So mechanistic pathways. Why young women?
So why young women? So as anything else, I think it's multifactorial. I think there are many reasons why we're seeing this. I think the biggest issue are risk factors. Time and time again, when we look at series, we always see that women have more diabetes, more hypertension, more risk factors.
Women having heart attacks are more often diabetic, more often hypertensive compared to age-matched men.
So if we control for differences in risk factors, we adjust for that. But nonetheless, in STEMI, in ST elevation myocardial infarction, you're still seeing an excess mortality, even when you control for the risk factors. There's a very interesting study coming out of Canada linking risk factors to and the association of risk factors to obstructive coronary disease. And interestingly, what appears to be going on, if you look at diabetes, hypertension, smoking, it seems to be a stronger risk factor and a higher association with obstructive coronary disease in female patients compared to male patients. So I think risk factors inherently have sort of a different impact on female patients compared to male patients.
And that's really a paradox to what is commonly thought, which is that relatively young women are protected, meaning a hypertensive woman at a young age has a lower risk than a hypertensive man at a young age. So these are new data.
These are new data, and it's absolutely to the contrary of common belief. So we need to pay attention.
More work ahead. And then I can imagine that the mortality is higher because treatment might be different by sex.
So differences in treatment, differences in delays to treatment, and differences in symptoms. So I think those are additional factors that contribute to the differences in mortality that we're seeing. Another very interesting series has looked at the absence of symptoms, and that, again, seems to be heightened in the younger age group. So up to 30% more complete absence of symptoms in the young women compared to age-matched men.
And we think it's complete absence or it's just not recognized?
Well, in this series, it was complete absence. So two things, you're right. So atypical symptoms are more common in female patients, but complete absence is also more common in female patients. And what that study did, it also looked at the link with mortality. So if you don't have any symptoms, you have a heightened mortality. I think we understand that. There's going to be no treatments, delays, etc. So I think that's something else for us to be aware of. And I think it's the index of suspicion. When we see these patients coming in, we need to pay attention.
What do you think of that recent study? It was the discongruity of the sex of the provider. So if the ED physician was a male and the woman having the heart attack, that woman did not do as well as if the ED physician was a female. And the vice versa was not true. The male heart attack victims did fine whether the ED doc. What do you think about that?
That's why we're talking, right? We need to educate. We need to get the word out. We need to better understand and sort of share the information.
Because that's really an awareness issue, likely. There's no reason male and female ED physicians can't provide equal care. So what do you think are some solutions to this stagnation or even rise in AMI mortality in young women?
Well, I think primarily it's going to be education, as we just spoke about. I think it's critical.
Education of?
Physicians, patients, the population, paramedics, the whole spectrum here. We really need to get female patients in sooner. They need to recognize their symptoms earlier and call 911 if that's the case. It's really sort of speeding up the whole process here. So I think that's critical. The other issue is risk factor modification. Such a big proportion of the disease burden and mortality burden is actually on risk factors.
Driven by risk factors. And we know how to treat risk factors.
We know how to treat them. And time again, we see that we're not as aggressive with treating female patients than we are male patients. So that's a gap. And I think that's something that we can really work on.
The Virgo study out of Yale with your associates clearly demonstrated that young women with a history of heart attacks had been less treated for their risk factors compared to men.
Absolutely. That trial actually identified many of these issues. So undertreatment being one of them, delayed treatment, 35% of women had delayed treatment. That's really unacceptable. So that is a gap that we can definitely work on.
So we probably know what we need to do rather than call for more investigation. What do you think? Would you agree with the statement? We just need to do a better job of treating risk factors in young women and acknowledging that young women can have heart attacks and educate the physicians?
I completely agree with you. The question is, how do we do that? Because I know you and I and many others have been trying to do that and have an impact, and maybe we have. I mean, maybe some of the decrease in cardiovascular mortality that we've witnessed over the last two decades are a result of that, but still, I think there's more that should be done, can be done, etc. And it's a challenge.
Well, there's an organization that you and I work with, Society for Gender Medicine, and they work very hard to get sex and gender questions into the board score, the boards 1, 2, and 3, as well as all of the general and subspecialty testing. So it's a work in progress.
And we'll keep pushing, right? That's the key thing.
Thank you for joining us on Axel today.
Thank you, Noel.
This is Spencer King, Editor-in-Chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/Axel.